like it's late. Or it's like, well, it could have come, you know, sooner, or whatever the case might be. Or even when he does answer prayer, you know, he does a little different than what I prayed. Because I prayed this, but he answered this way, but then I got to think back, and it's like, Lord, it's not my way. It's your way. It's your will. It's your touch of in that situation on whatever it's going to take, and whether that person lives or dies, and if they die, I don't understand, but Father, I've still got to understand that you are God. And that there is a way that I don't understand. But there's, through that situation, other things will come about. So we're going to share some of those things, I think. We want to... let's jump into this here. A couple of weeks back, before we had Shelley last week and things, we were talking about Thanksgiving and all, and I covered just one particular area, and I wanted to go back and kind of cover the others that I went through just quickly reading it. I really spent some time on Thanksgiving. So we were looking at the areas of Thanksgiving should spring from a grateful heart, regardless of the attitude. We're going to talk, and we shared quite a bit about that, so I'm not going to start there. We're going to jump into, you know, we can be grateful for all things. Tell you what, that's really going to separate the Christian from the Christian. The Christian from anything, as far as if you can be grateful in all things, even though hell has unleashed what we feel that's full force on us, what it might be, but we can stand strong because I'm standing strong in the power that he puts within me. And he sees it where I don't. But anyway, then we're going to look at some other areas. And what we find is we should be grateful, especially for the work of salvation and sanctification. And I find the common thing here about being thankful, right? Well, Chris had shared a little bit in Sunday school about a book that we're reading, The Irresistible Church. And he's going to, you know, it gave us all a good idea. Thank you, Chris. Because I want to read this too. Maybe I'll just, Chris, could you come over to my house and read it for us? You know, no! You know, I'll take the effort and I'll do the reading, okay? But it's talking in one of the chapters of this book about gratefulness. And it's a trait that God is looking for. And it's like, let me see here, it's number four, the trait. An irresistible church practices gratefulness. So we got to go, wow, that's cool. Everybody wants to be, let's do that. I want to be that. So we look at, well, we're thankful. Well, thankfulness is a good response to a favor that's usually already been done. Amen. Somebody opens the door for you. What do you say? Was the door opened or had it been opened yet? You know, as you're walking up there and nobody's there, do you say, thank you for opening the door? You go, I am. I'm not even up there to open the door for you. What are you talking about? It's usually we've passed through something and we've been able to get the benefit of it that we say, well, thank you for that opening of the door. Thank you for pouring my coffee. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing that. So we find that gratefulness is a response to something that's already been done. But then we look at that area of gratefulness it's talking about, where it says gratefulness means being content. There you are. Are you content before the gift or whatever is going to be done? Are you grateful? Now, chew on that for a while. Grateful. My goodness. For any gifts that are given, or even if they're not given, that's where you're really going to have that test of, even though I think this is what I want, this is my prayer, this is what I believe is the right answer, can I still be grateful at whatever happens? It talks about it's a breaking a silent thank you regardless of our circumstance. Gratefulness is a hallelujah, even when there is no guarantee of a blessing. Even though times are tough and it looks very bad, are you still able to say, hallelujah, thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer, and I trust you for the answer that comes, even if it comes that I don't agree with it? How many here have agreed 100% with everything that God has answered in your prayers? There's usually been a little difference in somewhere along the line. And early on in my walk, I began to think, there's a breakdown in communication. I'll say, oh, son, you're hearing that a whole lot different than I am, you know. There's a heap of problem here. It's like, hey, you know, God, what did I miss? Or what did you miss from me? A lot of times we start it that way, saying, Lord, you must not have heard me right. Do I have to repeat this slower? No, I just got to say, God, I know who you are. You heard it right. I've got to hear you right. And I got to be thankful. But before that, I got to just be grateful that you hear that And I can rest in knowing who you are. So gratefulness is saying that hallelujah before there's a guarantee of that blessing coming. It's the confidence to accept whatever God brings. Where did I see this at? It talks about being grateful. The spirit of gratefulness is developed whenever we pause to notice a rainbow. I refuse to pass a sunset. When we take time to notice, we feel arising in us a deep appreciation that wasn't there before. So that's kind of a test or a check of you and where you're at with gratefulness of God. Can you see his hand in the things around you today? The wonderful blessings, the things that he has bestowed upon us. And he continues to do those things for us, even at times when we're kind of bullheaded. Anybody in here bullheaded? I got 100% of that. We're all that way at times. Sometimes more than others, and a lot of times all the time. I don't know. But being able to be thankful of that gratefulness of knowing and what has been done, or even being satisfied before we even get there, just knowing that he's God. Amen. God is God. So let's look at a few things here. I'm going to jump into that second area that I missed when we left off, where it talks about that we should be grateful, especially for his work of salvation and sanctification. I don't know if we really got there, but you can look at Romans 7:25 as a verse that's really nice there. It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. No, he's talking about there's two different thoughts there, isn't there? The mind, he's doing one thing, but the flesh is doing something else. Anybody in that mode right now? New Living says, thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, it's a slave to sin. So what we're finding here, Paul is emphasizing things that were taking place back then that I'm pretty sure they're taking place even today. Even today in this place. With me included in part of that count, you know. It says he's emphasizing that moral struggle. And we find out that there's more of a moral struggle today, just like back then, but we think it's worse today, but it was the same back then. But that moral struggle, even within our society and things that are taking place, and so many things going truly against the Word of God. Day in and day out, we're just hearing more and more things that are being decided upon by the court systems of this wonderful great nation that are opposite of what God intended to be. It's this inward struggle with sin is as real for Paul as it is for us. So it's great to read the things of Paul, amen? We've been doing that on Wednesday nights, of reading a lot of the epistles and things, just reading the writings of Paul. I mean, my goodness, just the things that he was so concerned with, and even when he wasn't there, the letters that he just, this guy was, just think what would have happened if he had texting and email back then. My goodness, he would just be flashing that stuff out fast, man. This, like, he had to actually, you know, we'd write it now. It's like, how many here really write a letter anymore? Dear so-and-so, we are doing this, you know, and stick it in the mail and send it. But Paul is sharing the things that are taking place back then and all the different locations and locales that he had come into contact with of spreading the gospel and things. And so it says here, so when you feel overwhelmed, or you feel confused of the sin, follow the appeal that Paul gave, and that's the example of thanking God that he has given us the freedom through Jesus Christ, and that he has given you that power over that. Now the question is, are you tapping into that power to get past that? Is the power there, or is the power not there? It's already been done, amen. The cross has sealed it. The tomb is empty. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. So it's all been done. The thing is there. The power is there. The resource is there. The ability is there. What you've got to do is you've got to be grateful it's there and then tap into it that it's there. Many times, or not many times, sometime back we give an example of a light and all that and trying to plug it in. And even though everything was connected to the light right, the power cord and the switch and their bulb and things of that nature, it did me no good until I took that wire and found some kind of a plug-in somewhere and plugged it into a source that I don't know where it's coming from. But I know there's energy in there, so I could plug it in and turn it on, and then everything was working in proper order. Amen. Amen. The bulb's got to be in. The switch has got to be on. It's got to be plugged in. That's the same thing with our life with God. You've got to plug into Him before all the other things begin to work totally correct, right? And as I plug into Him, I know that I'm grateful being plugged into the source of power, the source of love, the source of peace, the source of strength, the source of everything that I need to be grateful and thankful in this place that I live. Wow, Lord. Yeah, it's kind of rough around here at times. Yeah, society's kind of, you know, oh, the morals of this is all this and that and that and this and that and that and that. But I, you know, I'm going to pray about it and think about it and do some things along that line, but I'm not going to let it take my eyes off of Him. Because that's what the enemy really, I think, wants us to do. We want to be in prayer for our nation. I'm not saying not to do that, and corporately and intercede and stand in the gap and, you know, being there. But I think sometimes we can get so focused on the things taking place here that we lose our sense of focus upon Him up there. And before that, before you know it, you get so muddled down in it and so entrenched in it and so beaten down in it. And even a strong Christian maybe after a while begins to think, oh my gosh, there's no hope. Why should I continue praying for the government when it keeps doing this? Why should I pray for my judges when they keep making these laws? Why should I pray for this when they just, Lord, it just seems like I'm beating my head against the wall. And God would say, welcome to the club. Because He says, you know how many times I was beating my head against the wall, Tim, to come to you to where you would realize who I was in your life? I go, oops, wait, what? Me? He said, yeah, remember when you said, hey, son, we got a failure of communication here. That was what I was saying to you, Tim. Hey, there's a failure here of communicating with me. Look at what I got for you. So we got to be careful we don't look at so many of the things of taking place upon our sphere of things here. We got the power and take dominion over whatever your sphere of influence is. We've shared on that, whether it's your neighborhood, your job, your work, where you're employed, wherever God has you, wherever physically you are, I think you've got dominion in that area. God has put you there. And so you stand strong in the schools. You stand strong working at the main office of the schools. You stand strong in the courthouse. You stand strong in the manufacturing plant. Whatever, hallelujah. Take dominion over that area. Because it's a source that He's given you to probably allow you to, you know, work and have income and benefits and things like that. And, you know, He's still our provider, even through that resource. But we've got to be grateful and thankful that even though we struggle with these things, and Paul has given us wonderful examples of what we need to do, that we can still be victorious over the sins that are out there that are still going to try to snare you. I don't know if you guys know it or not, but there's something out there that's trying to snare you right now. And you've got to be wise. You've got to be thankful that and grateful that God is, by the walking of the Holy Spirit, that if we're led by the Holy Spirit, He's going to kind of lead you into these things and protect you from these things and give you a heads up. Have you guys had a heads up before you got into something that was really bad, or, you know, things in your life have changed and you're no longer that man or that woman, but, you know, there's those struggles and those things that happen at times, and but the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it kind of puts a check within us quicker now. Stop and think. Stop and react. Stop and turn away. Do whatever the case might be, but that's that alert system that we're in with the Holy Spirit. And so we are grateful for that. We don't have Paul here in the flesh warning Tim anymore. I read his letters and I can look at them and say, wonderful examples and the things that I need to pay attention to, and look what he was doing back in Ephesus and Thessalonica and Corinth and all these things. But today I don't need Paul. I like reading him, but I've got the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is leading me and guiding me and strengthening me and leading me into what? All truth. For the Spirit will only say what the Father is saying. So I don't have to worry about what I'm hearing. Is that really from you, God? You know? So grateful. In Colossians 1, 3-5, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He was always praying for everybody. Amen. What a nice guy. I love when people, do you like it when people come up to you and say, Lou, I've been praying for you. Isn't that wonderful when you hear people hear that? People say that to me, I go, thank you. Don't stop. I haven't got to the point, well, how much have you prayed, you know? 20 minutes. Pray 40. Double it. But it's thankful. It's good when you have people because you just know when they're praying, and I know the people that are praying and those of the Spirit led that they're praying, you know, if they don't know what to pray for Tim, pray in the Spirit, amen. Pray in tongues. Let that message go forth, you know, and I receive it. But anyway, he is praying always for us and for them. Since we've heard your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Because of the hope, New Living Translation will say this, which is really kind of neat. It says the confident hope. Confidence. I like it when somebody says, I got confidence. Don't you like when somebody says, I got confidence in you, Willie? That just means that they got really something deep within themselves that say, I trust you and believe you, and everything about you. I got confidence you can do this. But it's talking about the confidence of hope, of which you've heard, or expectations before in the word of truth of the gospel. So remember, we're talking about this thing of the gratefulness for the work of salvation and sanctification being that set apart. Talks about here where Paul is saying the hope is the security of what believers have, our future destination and our salvation. That is one of the main things out there in life today is talk to the people out in your workforce or where you're at, even in your family members at times, and just say, do you have any hope? A lot of people have lost what? Well, they've lost hope. The more and more we hear of the things going on in society and the news, medias, and things of around the world, and not just in America, people don't have hope no more. And if you don't have hope, you almost kind of just stop where you're at and sit and go, I'm not going any further. There's no more hope. But we've got a hope that's been there from the beginning, amen? And that will be there for as long as the Lord shall tarry. I don't have to doubt the things that God has done for me. I don't have to doubt the things that he's got prepared for me. And you might say, well, have you physically seen them? I don't have them physically seen in my eyesight, but I walk by faith. I trust his word and what it says. And it's like, well, how can you trust that? It was written by men or inspired by, well, it wasn't written by men, inspired by God. But then you go back and there's just so many, if not, it would take a lot of faith not to have faith in it, really, because there's so much that correlates for decades and hundreds of years apart that how could these people know all this stuff, you know? So I know that God has a wonderful place and a great place prepared, and I have that security of knowing as a believer. 1 Thessalonians says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Work of faith, labor of love, and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only. Isn't it great that what we're believing in is not just paper print and print on paper? Amen. That's what a lot of other religions are. They're just believing what the paper says and the printed word. But we are living and working and have not only the print form to where it gives me encouragement, it builds me up, I get excited, woo, wow. But I see the power of it in things around me day in and day out. When we pray for somebody that is sick and you get a good report. When you pray for somebody that's sick and you still don't get a good report, but you thank God anyway. It's just living in that understanding of knowing who God is. And it's hard to share that with others outside the realm of faith. Because the God of this world has hardened their hearts. They're blinded. They don't understand this stuff. But I'm going to say this. Just because they don't let that encroach upon you and create doubt and confusion in you. For you that once have it, keep it. Yeah. If you begin to doubt it, dig deeper in His Word. Meditate, pray, ask. Get around some believers. Come to Bible studies. Get with a group. Let your concerns be known in a prayer group or two or three people to where you can say, hey, I'm having a struggle in this understanding. I'm just beginning to build some doubts and this and that. I need prayer because I don't want to go down that path. It did not only come in word, but also in power. And not only in power, but in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake, and you've become a follower of us and of our Lord. Verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much good time. Negative. Much affliction. A translation might say where much affliction could be even saying severe suffering. Now, there's got to be something wrong with God if I've got to go through affliction and suffering. No. But I may go through those things like they did back in those days. And if I do, oh well, I got God with me. And I got to remain faithful. I got to remain strong. I've got to continue to be grateful and thankful for who He is in my life. Not just on one day in November that I have turkey and dressing and potatoes and pumpkin pie. You know, that's a good meal, amen? Thankful for that, but it's 364 other days that I'm thankful, that I'm grateful that I wake up and I see the sunrise, the sunset, the stars in the sky, the moon in the night. Even in the daylight and the clouds passing by, and they just like, wow, how do they farm like that, Lord? You know, air currents and wind and all that, but who made those? God is just doing all these things. So when you get down a little bit, just look around. Take in the resources. Take in what He has done. Sometimes you just have to stop where you're at and look up. That's right. Stop where you're at and look up. Stop in your tracks. Say, enough of this stuff of the world. I've got to hear you, God. Find a place to close yourself into. It may be hard at, 2 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever, but sometime that evening after you get home or whatever, find a place. There's quiet times in a lot of places. But anyway, it says, and you became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, our severe suffering, our persecution, the Amplified would say, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And it goes on, because then you become examples. Isn't it great to be an example? Examples are good. Sometimes examples are bad. It talks about, when we're raising our kids and all that, it's who they're hanging out with. Who do you want them to hang out with? The peers and their age and all that. You want them to hang out with the examples of being good or the examples of being bad. See, our life is built around examples. And as we develop in our natural life and all, it's good to example yourself and put yourself in following people that are of good people, good ethics, good follow-through, good caretakers, good stewardships and things like that they talked about in Sunday school a little bit, and we'll be talking more about that in January. But then I look at the examples within the Bible. There, I look at those guys and gals for my examples of how they struggled and went through things of struggles and how they survived. Then I look at other stories and other comments in the scriptures, and I get built up by that. I'm looking at those examples. And then I begin to think of examples of people that have shared testimonies of how God has intervened in situations in their life. And the word of that testimony gave me a good example of God is still on the throne. And then I begin to think about the things in my own personal life of how God has showed up in my own personal life. Then I begin to thank Him even more and say, oh, Father God, amen. I'm so grateful. The examples are there day after day after day of how loving and wonderful God is. And we'll just share this a little bit about the, this is in Thessalonians, and we're 1st and 2nd, or 1st Thessalonians we're looking at. It says here that the Thessalonians received the word of God from Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and they believed it, those people of Thessalonica. The word that you have to share with your people and people that you come into contact with today, you can share it, and you share it in the conviction of who you know you are in Christ and the truth of it, and the, it's not going to return void, and God is there, and he's giving you the words to say that people will receive it. Now, they may not initially look at you and think that you thought, well, what did I really share there? Did they really receive it? But they, people listen. Even those that say they're not. Have a conversation in a restaurant to where, you know, two or three people are talking about things, whether it's politics, whether it's religion, whether it's Christianity, whether it's talking about Jesus, and there'll be somebody sitting around there that they'll pick up on that and start listening on the side. And you just never know what people are picking up on. But anyway, it talks about they turned from their idols, the Thessalonians and all, and that happened to a lot of these towns and people that Paul went through, but they turned from their idols. They accepted the truth and they trusted in God. They did not take what they heard as the words of men. They knew that what Paul and his friends had told them was really the word of God. The word of God does things. Amen. That is the thing to realize. If it's man sharing man's words, it'll come for naught. It'll fail. Amen. Anything that man puts his hand to, generally, it might sustain for a while, but it eventually falls off of the thing or something, you know. Look at the things that man makes. You know, a brand new car runs great for, you know, if you got like mileage guarantee of 50,000 miles, well, okay. 51,000 miles, the transmission falls out. They got it right down there, Wayne. They just know. Let's see. We're going to warranty this, you know, and we buy those cars and stuff. And we go, my goodness, they used to have like 12,000, 12 months. Now these guys are saying 5 years or 50,000. There's some out there saying 100,000. Wow. And maybe they sustain and work that long. But then, you know, there's a time and a place for everything is going to kind of, no matter what man puts his hand to. But that's just the way it is. But with God and the things that God has done, my goodness, we know that it's true. We can believe in that. We can take it away and know that the same word that he spoke thousands of years ago is the same word that we can hear today and the same word that can be spoken 100 years from now, and it'll be just as powerful. Hallelujah. Just as powerful. But it's only as powerful as you allow it to be. If you can receive it by faith and receive it and have understanding of these things and allow him to move it within your life, it will change you and you'll develop and it'll grow. And yeah, every one of us is on a path of growth with God. But be on that path of growth. Don't stop, amen. Keep going. Talks about this. Okay, so the word of God does things. It makes us believe. It works in us who believe it. It works in us who believe it. By his word, God affects the lives of those who believe. He changes our thoughts. He changes our actions. This is God. As a result of this work, the Christians in Thessalonica had turned from idols to the God who lives. They turned with joy and they told other people about the good news about Jesus Christ. They were even happy when they had to suffer for the Lord. Now we get into a society now when I don't know what really suffering is, to tell you the truth, and there's a lot more suffering overseas in Christianity circles than there is here. But even being able to be satisfied with suffering is like, hey, my Jesus had to suffer. Count me right up there with him. And I don't think our suffering is going to be anywhere near as bad as his. But yet, they were happy even when they were suffering. And then we get down into Philippians 4:6 where it says, we ought to thank God in anticipation of answering our prayers. My goodness, just think. Being able to thank in anticipation of answering our prayers. Philippians 4:6, be anxious what? For nothing. Philippians 4:6, New King James, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Now the translation says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Wow. Imagine that. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. If you did that, you would really have some connections with God. Talk about talking to Him and just in conversation. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's done. Here, Paul is telling and speaks about the greatness and the wonder of God. We live in a world where God is at the head of everything. This is what Christians believe. God is in control of everything. You know, Paul's advice is to turn your worries into prayers. If you want to worry less, do what? Pray more. It's okay. Pray. Talk to God. Be in conversation with Him every day. Not just at mealtime. Pray every time. I don't care. You're driving down the road and you see something wonderful. Thank you, Lord. And if everything is going good, thank Him. If everything's kind of going rough, thank Him. Because He'll bring you through that. Ooh. So turn your worries into prayers. Pray more. We find that the world has a lot of things that they want to help us with in the areas of that, don't they? You know, they might say, well, you know, here's the world's thoughts. And they're really the opposite of what Jesus would be about. But we find that the world will say, well, have positive thinking. Just begin to think positive. Well, that's good, and it kind of tails that way, but the world will just say, we have to have positive thinking, or, you know, have good feelings. Might say, well, you know, it all these things we find don't last. We've got to just put our trust and our faith and our belief and our thanksgiving and our gratefulness, all the things into God. It comes from us knowing that God is in control. You'll find in a side note to John, in John 14:27, where Jesus is speaking, and of course Jesus is saying, you know, the peace that I have is a little different than what the world's is. I think I want His peace. So that's just, you can kind of go there a little bit if you like to, but it's not like the world's. He'll state it there. So we go on, and we knowing that His answers will always be in accordance with His perfect will for our lives. Are you believing that? Do you believe God's answers to your prayers and to the things that you're going through? That he's working on the good of your behalf? I hope you do, because He is. He's not out there to try to just make you suffer and just, you know, put His thumb down on you and say, well, I can't wait for you to go through this, ha, 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 you know, type of a thing. He's really there to love you and to encourage you and to, you know, be there to help us. And we know that Scripture talks about in Romans 8:28, for we all know that all things work together for good to those who love God, and to those who are called according to His purpose. And that's a good scripture to know, but you've got to look at the other end of that to where it says according to His purpose. So we know that there's evil present in the world, amen? Evil is in the world, we know that, no surprise there. But God can turn the bad into good, right? And for us, and that's for us, you know, there's a scripture that talks about that. I don't think I put it in here. To where, you know, what the devil thought for bad, you know, the enemy thinks for bad, God can take it and turn it for the good. And that's an encouraging thing to know, because I've gone through some bad things in my life. Have you? But you know what? As I've looked at them and as I placed them before God and said, God, I need You in this situation, He has taken those things and He's changed it from the outcome that it could have been. And whatever it had been, it turned out to be better. But I had my faith and trust in Him. The enemy is out here to just do us in, isn't he? He's here to trip you up. He's here to snare you. He's here to just kill you, if he can. You know, if you allow it, he'll kill you. Let me kill him, you know, he'll do that. So we have to know that evil is present in this world, this current world that we live in. So, but God can turn the bad into good for us. We also need to recognize that this verse states that those are called according to His purpose. This can be claimed by those who have received Jesus as their Lord. Now, that's where you get into conversations with people out there that are outside of the faith, outside of God's kingdom, and they go through a struggle, and they will even say that, though. The world says that, like, well, everything works for a reason, you know. Well, but with God, as a child of God, your outcome will be a whole lot different. Because God is going to be there for you. He's going to give you that strength. He's going to give you that stability. He may not have beginning in this whole thing of going through it at the initial time, but we know that if I hang on, and don't turn away from Him, He will be there to help me get through these things. So we also need to recognize that this verse is stating to those called according to His purpose. This can be claimed by those who have received Jesus as their Lord. So by doing so, they are not trusting the world's ways and the world's answers. Their faith is strong. We have that new mindset. And you know, we go through a lot of stuff, don't we? You guys have had some problems and situations that's not been a bed of roses. And sometimes when we go through those things, we wonder how we're going to respond and how we're going to come through them. You know, things come along my path. I go, am I going to come through them to where I honor my God and I please Him and He's happy with the way I address those situations? Or am I going to stumble and fall and get mad and get upset and do all kinds of things and allow the devil to put thoughts into me about what about your God and all these things? Or am I going to remain strong in my faith? Am I going to remain strong in who God is in my life? And I tend to believe and want to trust that I'm going to stay strong in those elements of what God has for me. And in those times that happen when you really need that, that's when we need our family around us. That's when we need our church family to pray with us. We don't need to know the nitty-gritty details of stuff. We just need to know that a brother or sister is really having a hard, terrible time. Don't tell me the details. Let me know that you're having a difficult time, and let's just know that I got to keep you in prayer. It's not knowing the problem, but it's knowing how to have the problem solved. Okay, and I don't want your problem, but I know how I can help you solve it. And any one of us in here is probably in that realm of let me know it and pray about it, you know. So that's those encouraging things. But those that are called according to the purposes of God. Right now, those that are out there in the world dying and all that, they have not received that call. They have not come to the understanding of what Christ has done for them. And they're having problems and things. And you know what? I've got problems and things too, but mine are going to turn out differently. And I've got to trust God that the way they turn out is the way that God wants them to turn out. Even though I don't understand it and I don't want it to turn out that way, I've got to get to that mindset of trust and faith and believe that my God loves me and knows more of what I need than I need myself. Because it was like one of these things like, well, where were you, Tim, when I formed all these things? Didn't he say that to Job or something like that? He was kind of getting on him a little bit. Well, where were you? Has anybody ever had God tell you that? Well, Joe, well, Bill, well, Sally, well, you know, Julie or whatever. No, I didn't say Julie. Sorry, Julie. Julie. Oh, it's just a name that hit. Oh, it's not a prophecy or nothing. After a while, you run out of names. I try to look around who's here and use names that aren't here. Oh, man. Well, now I don't even know where I was going with that. But we know that His answers will be in accordance to His perfect will. And as I reflect back on all the things that God has done and been a part of, I can't really find a problem in it, do you? How He answered the prayers of the Israelites and different things and skirmishes and battles that they were going through and how He was there and how He just phenomenally showed up at so many things. And it's the same God today as it was back then. And so my battle that I'm going through, you know, I may not be going into a battle with a city that's got its city with walls around it that I got to that I'm going up against, but yet I might be going over a problem that has some kind of a fortress around it that it needs to fall down. And maybe I have to look at that example to where I march around it or go around it in the spiritual realm of just praying and praying and praying. And then all of a sudden one day, the Lord just says, "Now, Tim, it's done. You got to give a shout of praise." I go, "Yeah, but I still see the wall. I still see there's a struggle there. I still see there's a problem there." Well, that's what you're seeing in the natural, but you've got to see it in that spiritual realm. You've got to see that by the faith, the eyesight of faith. And now, as the Lord speaks to me, as the Lord speaks to you to do these things, you're responsible to do what? To react to those things. The Lord will not do it for you. He will just put those things to you. Say, "Now is the time to do this, Pat. Now do this, Willie. Don't do this, Lou," or whatever the case might be. So we're listening to that communication. And the only way you're going to listen to that communication is to be one with Him, to where you hear Him. My sheep know my voice. Amen. We can hear that still small voice. I want to hear my God's voice, you know, at a whisper. Just a breath of Him talking to me. If I hear it, I just want to stop where I'm at and turn around and say, "What now? This way. Okay." I don't want Him to hit me over the head with a ton of bricks or, you know, slap me upside the head. I want to be so sensitive to my spirit and what the Lord is speaking into me. And we all can be that way. We all should kind of want to be that way so that we walk the walk that God has for us. Amen. But it's having that mindset and change, and we've looked at that as so knowing that His answers will always be in accordance with His perfect will. So we can go into some things here, and there's so many ways of thanking Him, and you probably already know. If I threw it out, what are some ways that you can thank Him? Any thoughts? Brushing your teeth? No. No, maybe. One day at a time, huh? Each day, thank you, Lord, for another day. And see, you don't know what that day's got in store for you. But even more important, you don't know the people that have that same day with you and that your paths are crossing. You know, have you ever looked out, especially in the early morning but late at night, and you see those jet streams up there of the jets flying east and west and everywhere? And they're going someplace and coming from someplace. And you see up there, and if it's long enough that they're still far enough up there and there's not a lot of current, there's still one trail this way. Maybe, you know, 20 minutes later, there's another trail going this way, you know. These things are just crossing over up there. In our walk here on this earth, how many times have you crossed paths with someone that you were thankful that you crossed paths with? Even if it's for a short time. It's like, "Lord, it was only for a season, but I thank you for allowing me to get to know him or her, or get to know them, or get to have that situation." Talks about our steps are ordered by that of the Lord. So if he's ordering my steps and he's ordering your steps and we're just following the path that he has us on, you'll be amazed at the amount of people that you come into contact with on this earth. That we're to be doing his business and to be whatever it is, whether it's kingdom kids, amen? So daily waking up, you know, and seeing each day before us, thank you, Lord. You know, singing, we just do that on every time we come in together. We like to sing and shout praises to God. There's so many things. Living a holy life. He does expect us to live a holy life, guys. Amen? It's not just to have a fun time down here and go and do whatever you want. It's to listen to him and pay attention to him and be sanctified. Be set apart. We are set apart people from this thing of this world. And so we have all these things that are going for us that we've got to be a part of. And knowing that as we are that, just wonderful blessings. I thank God. Thank God for all these things. Amen. He is so good. We want to wrap up here. Just a couple of, as far as living holy lives. In Romans 12:1, it'll say, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Singing, my goodness. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." You really don't understand sometimes what a song does to someone's life and the breakthrough that it helps. get through some things. Well, of course, we should, though, because that's whenever they were going to battle, generally, who was going before the soldiers? Well, the singers, the praisers, then all that. You know, he would send the praisers out, go sing before us. You know, you guys go out there. Now, as we wrap up here, doesn't that give us all just like, you guys got the weapons and all that back there. And I'm just walking out there singing. But there's a power in that. There's a powerful force in praising and worshiping God, because it's his power that goes, even though they got the weapons back there, those weapons don't matter a whole lot to anything with the power of God, amen? And so we've got to realize, and I think that's an example to us to understand that, you know, we are a powerful source of power of God within us because of that dunamis power, and it's by the praising and worshiping and thanking him and speaking to those problems. And a song is actually all you're doing is speaking stuff out. The power of whatever it is, you know, conquering this or conquering that or worshiping God or praising God or whatever the case might be. And that kind of goes back into how important your what? Your words are to the things and the situations that you're in. So always be listening before you talk. Listen to yourself before you spout those words out there and decide, are they good words, bad words, powerful words, or words of doubt? And if it's words of doubts, hold them back, you know. And can't say anything good, just don't say nothing then. Until something powerful comes in you to where you can stand strong and confess those positive things out there. Well, let's wait on you on your giving as well for a way of gratitude and thankfulness. Beautiful time that.